I want to begin with a story about Groucho Marx, but giving the population here, I need to say who he was. Lest I risk irrelevance. Groucho Marx was one of four male siblings who were comedians on the stage and screen. That's what we called it in those days. An evening television show called You Bet Your Life, in which he asked contestants questions and was rapid fire in his normally very funny commentary on any number of things. So, to the story. Several years ago, a priest was about to cross the street in Toronto, but he looked up and saw on the other side coming toward him was Groucho Marx. Thought to himself, I can finally meet the famous Groucho Marx. Marx approached the priest. The priest put his hand up and said, Mr. Marx, I'm delighted and honored to meet you, and I want to thank you for bringing the joy into the lives of millions of people. Groucho stared at the priest, arched his fulsome eyebrows, shook his hand and said, and Father, I want to thank you for taking the joy out of people's lives. I hope that makes up for the parking problems this morning. Advent is a season of quiet joy, a restrained joy, a time to look back on how God came to save us and look forward with hope to Christ's second coming. God sent his Son as our Redeemer, Savior, and Reconciler. And on Christmas morning, we will sing, Today is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. We have these weeks to prepare for Christmas, hopefully with family and friends at festive gatherings and festive tables. But much more importantly, a time to prepare our lives, our hearts, our spirits, to welcome a Savior, a Redeemer, and a Reconciler. Let's take those in order. A Savior. The term Savior is repeatedly used in the Advent liturgy. Save us, Savior of the world, we say. The word save comes from a Latin word meaning salus, meaning healing. God comes with power to heal us. One question we should ask ourselves is, what kind of healing do we need in these weeks before Christmas? And in the light of the second reading, there's an urgency about healing because St. Peter tells us what we all know, we're going to die. And before we die, what do we need to have healed in our lives? A month ago, many of you know better than I, a Gonzaga senior was killed on the Beltway in a car accident on a Saturday night. Buried the next Saturday from the National Shrine with a standing room only crowd of mourners from Gonzaga, family and friends. Death knows no age. It comes, as Peter says, at any time. The urgency now is to what do we need to be healed from this Advent? And not wait for a Scarlett O'Hara support group and think about that next year. A couple of years ago, a friend gave me a throw pillow for my birthday. It said, welcome to the back nine. I probably am about six or four. We're all in between. What about that healing in the meantime? Even in an I'm okay, you're okay, that's okay, we're all fine culture. We know we're not. We come to hear a gospel about a God who can move mountains literally. And the mountain in our spiritual tradition is the ascent of the mountain of God, especially the Carmelites tell us again and again, to ascend the mountain of God. But to do that, that requires work in our spiritual lives. What do we need to unburden ourselves to take a step or two on that ladder toward perfection? Isaiah tells us that God makes a path in the desert. What's a desert? A place where there's no signs, no directions, no GPSs. But Isaiah says God gives us a path to walk along his path of justice and peace, his path of accepting us. Do we have the courage to accept God's acceptance and in turn accept others? No, Advent is not a Scarlett O'Hara 4-week support group. It's doing it now, opening our hearts to what needs saving. Number two, Redeemer. The other word we use repeatedly in Advent is send forth a Redeemer. Now, that's an economic metaphor, to buy back. The understanding of redeeming is that ever since Adam and Eve and all that went south or east, depending upon your perspective, we had to be bought back. There was a price to be paid. And a new Adam had to come to pay the price of our salvation, redemption, and reconciliation with God. That's an adult Christ does that. Not a way in a manger, but an adult Christ comes to redeem us. Seems to me that this economic metaphor is quite prominent in our culture. When I'm not listening to talk radio, which is always, and listen to news radio, which is sometimes, seems to me at the top of the hour, four things happen every hour in the broadcast. The first thing is top of the hour, breaking news, especially if it's bad. If it bleeds, it leads. 8 minutes later, weather and traffic. And then some few minutes later, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, and the economy. How many times an hour do we hear where the Dow is, up or down? And Friday, it almost broke 18,000, as you know. And the question about good economic news Friday with 5.8 unemployment, but tens of thousands of jobs added. We're doing well. But Pope Francis used the economy from a worldwide perspective. And his lenses on the economy are the fact that Argentina defaulted twice in 13 years and had 20% unemployment. This Pope went to the European Parliament and asked about people trying to get a better life for themselves and asked them, why does the Mediterranean Sea become a cemetery? People seeking a new life. His very first trip outside of Rome was to Lampedusa, to an island off the coast of Italy to pray for migrants and immigrants. And when he got there, they gave him a book, an album with photographs. The first part was those who had survived, smiles on their faces to a new life. And the second part of the book were people dead in boats of all sizes, not able to find a place to live for a new start. Economic metaphor. You and I will deal many times between now and Christmas with charities. And we will, I hope, step up and give to those who need. Yesterday's came from the Lombardi Cancer Center at Georgetown. My neighbor's being treated there. That's a no-brainer this year. But then there's charity, and then there's structures of justice that John Paul II says to us, there can be no love without justice. Far more difficult, longer-term thing that needs healing. And finally, reconciliation, the reconciler. The third thing that we do at Christmas is welcome that God came to reconcile us through his Son so we can have access back to God. That's a great gift of God to us, overarching, and the Pope says again and again, God wants to give us that. Christ first came to the little town of Bethlehem, and we will sing, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. No, it doesn't lie, see sweetly. It does not sit there calmly. Bethlehem is a mess. There is no peace. What it has is barbed wire and military personnel checking every person who wants to get to the place where Jesus was born. silent night, all is calm, all is bright. No, it's not. Not in Ferguson, Missouri. Not in my hometown, New York. Not in Chinatown on Friday. All kinds of protests, pleading that it be peaceful. And one more time, the question about how reconciled are we really? And what in our lives needs reconciliation? And are our divisions still about race, gender, orientation, economy, and creed? Christ came for all peoples. As a matter of fact, that's the gospel that Charlie Brown read again the other night on Wednesday for the 50th time. And Charles Schulz said when he wrote the Charlie Brown Christmas, there was concern it might be too Christian. It's going to be about a Christmas tree, and he made it about Christ being born for all people. Sometimes we then become the arbiter of that. How outrageous is that? In our own lives, is there a relationship that needs to be healed between now and Christmas that we've deferred? In our own family, the person who was not sitting there at Thanksgiving, who should be. In an era of email and telephone, is there someone we should call after many years and try to heal the breach? Dear friend of mine did that in Dutchess County last week. She went to your sister, whom she'd not talked to in 25 years. She thought, before I die, I want to make peace with my sister. I know a few gentlemen in Dutchess County. They're all senior to me. They have not talked to each other since their father's death because of the legacy. They all go to the Catholic Church at separate masses. Silent night. Holy night, all is calm, but brothers don't talk to each other. Is that the kind of Christmas we should welcome? Today we come not to a manger, but to the altar, to be fed not where animals were fed, but where the bread of life and the chalice of salvation has come to us so we can live and welcome salvation, redemption, reconciliation. And if we do, then our singing on Christmas of joy to the world will be all the richer if we take Advent seriously and take today's scripture seriously. No one can take the joy out of Christmas, not even priests, not even Groucho Marx. And on that, you can bet your life.